is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. A beautiful, beautiful sunrise this morning, about an hour ago here at the Radio Ranch, this April 25th. We've got a full crew for you this morning. Hope you have your coffee and have your Bibles. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And right out of the revolt state, Michigan. Open revolt, it seems like, up there. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Hey, with the nation shut down, what else do you have to do? You might as well join us this morning. Hopefully you have your coffee, you have your Bible. Thanks for joining us. Program is Coffee with the Wranglers that Pastor put together years ago, an opportunity for Christian men and women to get together, kind of like around the old campfire, and share a cup of coffee and have fellowship and talk about the events of the day. And so we have the phone lines open. That's what we're here for. And Jason, we'd ask if you'd open us up in prayer, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to tend to the need of the remnant across this land. And we pray, Father, for you to guide and direct in all that you do. And we pray, Father, for strength and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and traveling mercies, and Father, just for the protection that can only come from your throne. We pray that you be with our wives and our children, and that you just put that full armor of God upon us, Father, that we can be strong and courageous, Father. We pray that you just guide us and direct us, and give us that wisdom that we need to make the decisions that are before us. And we pray, Father, for all these things in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And plenty going on. Where do you even start? I'll start with a praise again. What a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. We've had it all this week. We've had 60-degree weather. We had our first good rain of the spring, and we had a spring snowstorm that dumped a nice coating of snow on us yesterday morning, and a beautiful sunrise today. And so, you know, in the midst of everything going on, remember that God is still on the throne, that Jesus Christ still rules, and that the Bible tells us that our God sits in the heavens and laughs at the plans of men, at the plans of the destroyers and the enemies. And so remember that, remnant. Don't forget it. These things that are happening, we were talking right before the program, hey, it's what'd you say, Paul? Babylon falling. And so let's remember that for what it is. When you look at the headlines, who would have thought, you know, these things could be happening? An interesting one I saw this week is that basically the president signed into law to stop immigration, to close the borders. Don't know if anybody else saw that, but I thought that was you know, it wasn't met with a bunch of fanfare, but in light of everything else that's going on, you know, 3 months ago it would have been headlines, and these days it's just, yeah, well, that's what's next. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Go ahead, Paul.
No, I've seen that headline. You know, I've seen it was he closed the borders. So, you know, this is bigger than all of us. If you can't see the hand of God moving, this is really huge. You know, when you can take the idolatry away from the people, their sports and their bars and their food and everything else like that. I mean, and you know, there's some really good things coming out of this. I live in this little village, and I see people walking down the streets with their kids and stuff, and there's a really good side to what's going on right now. And we got to look at that because, you know, even me, I want to take the easy way when I can, and I can't do some things I did. You know, I didn't do nothing playing, but I also got coffee in the morning. I can't go make it at home. So it's just really good. God's getting in our mind, and either he has ears to hear, let him hear. This is what it amounts to, and if you're hearing and learning stuff like that, because the government has nothing to give and take, and then you can throw all the money you want at Earth. When you get rid of productivity, this is going down, and they're shutting slaughterhouses down across this country. And I would be surprised if you can buy meat out of a store in the next 2 weeks. We got a farm here. We got a farm here. We got three semi-loads of cattle to go to the slaughterhouse. No place to go with them.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, we've been talking about the famine that's coming, and there's no doubt whether it's man-made or caused by God that there is a famine coming. And I believe last week's message was basically a warning similar to what God had done with Joseph in Egypt to give us a little bit of a warning to get some reserve food supply and to, just like you said, you know, it's a reset in your life to get your priorities straight. Number one, draw closer to God. Number two, draw closer to your family. And but it's also a reset with our priorities and what we do with our money and not worrying about our 401ks and retirements and all that and putting the money that God gives us into things that are beneficial for generations to come, not just financially, because financially he's removing that piece of the puzzle.
Amen to that.
Well, everybody judges their wealth by their 1040, how much they made. That ain't got nothing to do with wealth, really. Your wealth is your children and your house and home or farm or whatever it is that you have. That's where real wealth is. That's what real estate is. And, you know, the people have been driven from the land, and most of them are living on a little lot now. And it's taken over by big farmers, but the big farmers are in deep doo-doo at the moment. I mean, they ain't got no place to go with their milk, their pigs, their cows, anything. It's just, you know, a lot of people don't see it that way because they aren't connected to the earth at all. But, you know, I deal in agriculture, and this is really big.
No, absolutely. Yep. And we haven't even seen the bulk of it yet as far as the impact.
Well, you know, the Bible says there will be food for those that believe, and they got to believe that, too, because I don't know how well, you know, stored food will last. It won't last forever, but definitely he will take care of us. He takes care of the birds and feeds them. He can feed us, too, or whatever. So,
you know, I'm really seeing a resurgence of local trade, bartering even. And, you know, with people that we've got neighbors that have raw milk. We have neighbors that have eggs and have been seeing a large, I would say, a resurgence of that, even more than normal. We're still a month or so away from the farmers markets that pop up out here. You know, you see the bulletins at the feed store, and you hear people talking that you know, asking you know, about those things, about meat and about eggs, and so yeah, some people are looking into it and seeing, but many states are you know, they're really, this is has brought to light the food disparity that many of the states have. I think we've talked about it before, even with just the public schools closing down, the millions of children that rely on the public school system for breakfast, lunch, and even dinner. And then they take a backpack home with food over the weekend so they have food to eat. That's here in the good old USA. We have hundreds here in Laramie. That's a program that several of the you know, the groups in town support it. Our local 4-H club helps support it. You know, the backpack food program for children that don't have food to eat at home, and with the schools closing down, you know, many of the places have had the buses still running the routes and bringing food to the bus stops and putting that out so children and families can come get food in that manner. And so you're right, Paul. The and I think, John, you mentioned it, the famine that is coming, we're getting a glimpse of, you know, that those grocery store shelves might not always be stocked. And it's not just a matter of going there with your cart and stocking up and paying for your food and going home. That, you know, that is, it is so different in America today than it was, you know, when we were younger in our parents' generation. There is a,
well, you're already the equivalent of bread lines, you know, except for the people are sitting in their cars for miles to get food in where was that, in Texas and in Pennsylvania, and that was, you know, a week ago. So we're hardly even into this thing, or we haven't really seen the effects of food shortages at all yet.
No.
And the people have got stimulus checks and everything else, but, you know, you already got the equivalent of food lines in some states.
Well, I predicted a famine last year, but not for this reason. You know, there was millions of acres that never got planted last year, and I thought, man, we're going to have a famine. But I never thought it would come this way. They've just shut off
the
food
supply. And all that other stuff, too, now, Paul. You know, the huge swarms of locusts that are devouring entire crops in third world countries. And, yeah, I mean, this is I do remember you talking about that. Well, the flooding that hit the Midwest, what was that? You know, everybody forgets, but that was, what, probably 2 years ago now? Or
yes.
That,
it was last year.
Decimated the crop. Was it last year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
Actually, we've had it 2 years in a row.
Yep. And that, you know, that takes a little while because there are stockpiles. There's food stored up and that type thing. But I think I saw it was 9 million acres that were not planted there in the Midwest. Just saw that recently. And you know, that may not hit you in a month from the time that happens, but, you know, there's no... where's that resupply to the food system? And that's what that prevents. It is.
Yep. What do you see going on, Jace?
Well, I see the same thing going on. I see, you know, like up in Michigan, you know, and it's talking about just basically, you know, flipping God off and, you know, taking a dump on the Michigan people. You're shutting the seed stores and the plant supply stores where you can't go get your starts. You can't go get a gallon of paint. You can't go get your anything for your garden. I mean, that's what that out here in Colorado is, you know, we're blessed with. They haven't done anything like that. But I'll tell you what, people are, the garden stores and the seed stores and anything that has anything to do with something like that is packed. Even a local hardware store, which, you know, granted, they, you know, that part of them that are in there are communists, but the ones that the store, just talking to the owners in there, you know, they said that they've had people that are coming out of the woodwork coming into the store. You know, people that they're like, you know, they said that they've never been so busy. You know, people are doing the, you know, stay-at-home projects. They're doing things different. They're planting gardens. They're, you know, they're one of the things is they're bored and they're realizing that that they don't need to live in Babylon. You know, you take people out. A lot of people are addicted to their going to town and their lifestyles, and you take that away from them. It's part of breaking a spell. You get them out of the rut that they've been in for, you know, for years and their whole entire life. It's going to have a major effect upon them. It's going into like a reset, factory reset mode. You know, like Paul was saying early on, you know, you get them away from the bars and the restaurants and stuff, and it's like, you know, it's going to change a person. And that's what I see that's happening. One of the exciting things is, you know, is you know, people are looking, you know, towards the future, and they're starting to realize that that we got to start doing some things different. Our enemies have thought generationally for generation after generation after generation. I mean, and they think that far ahead. And our people are just, you know, don't normally think that way. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs says, a wise man, you know, stores up and gives his children inheritance, but also his children's children an inheritance. And what I see happening is people are starting to think that way. I know that I've started thinking about that way several years ago. And it's like, you know, what can you do and how can you give your children a piece of land? But what about not just giving them a piece of land, but what about giving them a piece of good land? You know, it takes, you know, with what we've done with the soil health and our farming practices in this nation have just, played havoc on the land. And you know, it's you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we've said it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust for a number of times. And I think that I know for a fact that that has been answered for a certain few that have done just that. And you know, we're seeing these regenerative farming practices come into play and actually making soil health better, making food products better, making getting away from the synthetic fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides. And, you know, that there's a lot of exciting things that are coming out of the midst of a lot of these things. And I think that that's, I believe wholeheartedly that that's God's plan.
Amen. Yeah, this has been set and this has been set in movement for a while because the undertow that, you know, I said there's an undertow of people out. We don't know how many there are, but the small farmers are running what they can handle and going to the farm market. You know, they're going to thrive right now.
Yes.
You know, there used to be quite a few little slaughterhouses around here that have all gone out of business. You know, there's just a few left. But see, those can all come back, and this is what has to happen. The mass, you can't save the masses. And another thing we got to keep in mind is God controls our enemies also. I was reading the Bible the other day about where God used the Chaldeans to straighten out Judah. They said, well, you're not part of this. No, you got to learn this. And our enemies are in God's control also. Because we seem to think they're doing this, just doing this, you know. When Trump won, you could have tipped me over the straw that he, you know, because I always thought it was cut and dried, you know, that's how she's got it. Well, if they're out of control, they're not in control no more. You know, but God used them from day one. He's always in control. So, and sometimes we need chastisement. You know, somebody sent me something the other day. I said, well, I've never seen a child ask for a spanking, and we don't ask for one either, but that's exactly what we need as a nation.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're getting. That is what we're getting. We're getting the, I like how you mentioned that God is getting to us. He is getting to his people. When you read through the Bible, how does he do it? Oh, he'll pour blessings out. But read the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. And that's us. That's that term fat and happy. And that's where this nation has been for a long time. Fat and happy in their sin and in everything else. But you're absolutely right, Paul. God is getting people's attention. He really is. And, you know, getting people to think about things, breaking up that routine. I like how that was mentioned, Jason, how, you know, it like a factory reset. It absolutely is. And we're seeing it with people. I visited a local sawmill. We've got one right up at the on the road here, outside of the, away from the radio ranch, and got some rough cut lumber yesterday, and talked with the man there, and he's like, you know, my business is booming. He said, I'm busier now than I've ever been. He said, I don't have to go to town, but he said everybody is coming for slabs and wood, and you know, and so these. Some of the small businesses are still doing well, and it's like you said, Jason. People are gardening. People out here are there's a line at the Ace Hardware store. They only let 10 people in the store at a time, so they're paying a guy to be out front. Okay, you're number 7, you're number 8. Oh, we're at 10. Let's wait till somebody comes out. But the hardware store is packed, and so you know, I think people are. They are thinking about things. They are contemplating. They are getting back to the earth, gardening, and doing those type things.
Yeah. We're in the process of rebuilding an old 91 Dodge 12L that Dad had, and Monty, Pastor Peter's only begotten son, had, and... It's kind of funny, I worked on that thing 26 years ago when I was dating my wife when he first got it, rebuilt it, and here I am again rebuilding it. Got a son that's going to WyoTech to learn to be a diesel mechanic and decided he wanted to just rebuild the whole truck. So, but the point is the machine shops are so busy now too because everybody that's home is rebuilding, you know, that old truck or that old engine or that old whatever. And so there's a lot of good things that are happening. The problem is, it's a different generation. I think probably somewhere in the 30s is probably the break, but the millennials, I guess they did a poll, and there was like 65% of them who think that we need to continue the stay-at-home orders and all that. Well, it's because they're getting checks from the government. Nobody's given me an explanation of why they're getting unemployment plus $600 a week. So they're making a whole lot more than they were working in the service industries. And basically, they don't want to go back to work. And, you know, and now some people are proposing, oh, we need to pay people $2,000 a month, $4,000 for a husband and wife, married couple, and $500 more per child per month. So, I mean, you're talking $5,000, $6,000 a month and for 6 months at least until, you know, this thing runs its course. And I'm like, it's just a different mentality, but you know, the people around our age are the ones I think that are getting back to the land and back to God and back to yes. family and back to, you know, using our hands. I mean, I was a ASC certified mechanic when I was 18, and I did not like that. Ended up being a lineman for a while and then opened a body shop, but those skills that I learned back when I was 16 through 18 of a mechanic and the tools that I bought back then, I still have all that stuff. And by God's grace, I still remember how to do all that stuff. So, you know, it's just those things that God's given us to do with our hands because we're not the parasites. We're not the ones that were cursed from the land. We can do things with our hands. And a country boy will survive. You know, I was listening to that song the other day too, and a lot of truth to that song.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, like,
go ahead, Paul.
Well, you know, we have a story around here, farm stores and Tractor Supply and Farm and Home, and them places you can't hardly get a place to park in the parking lot. They're busy, but you see, the old Saxon begins to hate.
the Spirit of God is in some people. Some of these people still know how to farm, but they're not going to do it until they have to. You know, it's just too easy to go down to the store and buy everything. But they do know how to do it, you know. And you know, everybody under 20 that came out of Egypt survived. And there's some kids around that, you know, my grandsons, they got an old set of head on them that I don't know where they got it, except it's genetics. They're survivors, you know. And I ain't been on them that much, but the things they say, you know, they're just down-to-earth boys. And they're survivors. But I'm telling you that they're all around. They're all around because, you know, when we had a tree service, I had a little, we were doing tree work for East Grand Rapids, and this little kid come around. He was 12 years old. He was better flagman than one of our workers, and he just got out there and handled the traffic. He was 12 years old. But I'm just telling you, God's got those people here and there, and we don't know who they are. But it's time to shine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is coming
well,
out.
That's the reason that they locked down the seeds and the plant stores and all of that, because they realize that our people are, you know, there's always an ill effect to their plan because God's in control. Number one, when they start this stuff, they try to shut down the gun stores and the ammunition sales and all that. That didn't work. So in reality, there's more guns and more ammo out there than ever before. That was kind of a contradictory to their plan, I believe. And then with shutting everybody into the stay-at-home orders, now everybody's getting back to the land and doing things with their hands, and that's probably another thing that they didn't anticipate was going to happen. So what do? They, at least there in Michigan, they shut down the seeds. You know, they wrap or put barriers around the seed displays and around the plants and shut down the local. I think, didn't they shut down the local farmers trying to sell produce as well? I thought Zach was saying something about that as well.
Well, yesterday she just lifted that. You go buy your paint and stuff in Menards now. She opened that apartment. She's taking some heat. She's taking a lot of heat.
Well, yeah, she should.
Yeah, right. But I'm just telling you that if I got a herd of cows, and you can order, but when Pete tells that story, when they break, you're screwed.
Yeah,
get wiped out.
That's a fact. And you know what? Those protests have made a difference. You think about it. You got 5,000 people on the steps. They might have their sidearm on their side at that time, but in a week it may be in their hand, and there ain't no number of state troopers or anything else that are going to keep you from that governor at some point.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that was all trumped up, too. I don't think there was no gun, very few guns at that thing. Most of them just drove in their car and drove around, tied up the whole town is what it amounted to. Just a handful got out, and I don't know if anybody had a gun or not, but it was not what the media said. So
you see what happened in Pennsylvania where the militia rolled in a 6x, and they were armed, AR-15s and AK-47s, and then there was certain groups of that same militia that were walking through the crowds. I went to the Denver one, and we drove through, just like you said, it's called Operation Gridlock, but then we got out, we walked up into the steps there, and pretty much all the people that were in that area didn't have masks, and probably weren't practicing social distancing, but you know what? It was a beautiful day. It was sunny, and that God's cure is better than anything man can come up with. Either is that ultraviolet light from the sun is supposed to be, you know, a powerful healer, and I'm sure it is.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's interesting how the president mentioned that. You know, he mentioned that this week in one of the press conferences. Is, hey, you know, hey, look at what if, and he kind of looks to the doctors. What if, you know, what if we could use light? Would light help? You know, if we could get a really bright light, would that help get rid of this? And you know, and he cracks a joke about, you know, even if you could get it inside of you, you know, get the light inside of you. And the media takes that as the president wants you to inject Lysol into your body. And so they twist it and turn it all around and just blast him for it. Well, come to find out, and I even called Jason on it yesterday, light therapy works. That stuff Doc Junker's been doing and had been doing for years, that light therapy does work. And even some of the mainstream media is coming out with that now, saying, you know, some of this light therapy does work. A headline this morning, vitamin D, can it help? Yes, it helps. You know, we've been talking about that, pushing and promoting that, and Paul, it's like you, I think you said earlier, the masses aren't going to be saved. I remember my dad telling me years ago that, son, you can't save the world because the world doesn't want to be saved. That's how the masses are.
End of story.
Yeah, but the remnant, they do. And they understand that, yeah, oh, there is something to light therapy. And there is something to this vitamin D. And, you know, the A, B, C, D, zinc. You know, what else was it, Jason? I think you're coming out with some, going to be advertising it pretty quick. I think, what, selenium and of course, the LDM. And so there's many of the natural things that help, you know, keeping a good, strong immune system. But we see that the enemy that is cursed from the ground, you mention anything like that, and they just go ape. They can't have anything to do with it.
Well, that's the only thing that really does work. That's the only thing that really does work, because all these, the whole food industry, they want to kill that fungus and insects and stuff. That's a secondary issue. You got to find out why he's there in the first place. That's all secondary. Remember the old barbershops when they had that little thing where they put their tools with a black light under it? That sterilized them tools.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that sterilized that. Yeah, that light there had been, you know, Fife, or that had that generator, he had that microscope, was 17,000 times or stronger than an electron microscope, but the thing, it didn't kill it, but he was watching this stuff under a microscope, and he could watch it die when he changed the frequency of it. And that, see, them lights set up frequencies and everything. It's all real. Sunlight, everything. Rachel Carson, the Silent Spring, I thought she was crazy. You should put that out. But I'm going to get it because, see, all nature right now is crying out to be healed. The birds are different. Everything's different. Everything's sick. The plants are sick. The people are sick. And, I think we're in a great awakening, really, for those that hear and what I see.
Amen.
Amen. I kind of want to share a few things that are going on in the real world that I found out through a buddy of mine whose daughter is a nurse here in a local hospital. And apparently right now, at least here in where we live, and I bet you anything, it's nationwide, if you're pregnant right now, and you're planning on delivering your baby in the hospital, you have one choice. That choice is to set a time for a C-section. Think about that. That's pretty significant. The fact that right now the only choice that you have, and how many people follow the herd mentality, this was a young couple that he had went and done an estimate for, and she was pregnant, and they were talking, yeah, we have an appointment to get a C-section, you know, this day or whatever. And he said, well, why are you doing that? And they're like, well, we don't have a choice. That's the only thing that they'll do. So it comes down to, okay, well, now a doctor can schedule that, right? It's going to take 2 hours or whatever it is instead of the 14 to 24 to whatever it takes the first time. And that's significant. The other thing is there's a process called intubating. It's not in Q, it's in T, tubating, which basically when they put you on a ventilator, they have to put you in a coma because your body would reject that, you know, hose shoved down your throat and or esophagus. I don't even know what it is, but I read an article that over 90% of the people that are intubated, again with a T, not a C, are not coming out of their comas and are dying. So 90% of the people put on ventilators are dying, and most of those are the older generation, by the way. So it's kind of like the palliative care, in my opinion. I think it's a thinning out of the older generation, which is no longer productive in their eyes, because now they receive the benefits of the fruits of their labor, you know, which is unbiblical as it is with the Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare, all that stuff. But I don't know. What do you think about all that? That's pretty significant, in my opinion, both of those things.
Well, absolutely, running it. Again, God's running it. If that's what you want,
yeah,
that's what you get. God is running it. You know, your God's going to betray you, and you're just an object. They're not a loving God. He's just, when you're not productive, we need to get rid of you. And who's your God? What the issue is?
So, yeah, and it, not only that, the hospitals around here are empty. They're laying off people left and right. There ain't nobody in them.
I know. Same here. The parking lots are totally empty.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, you know, I know two people. I had a friend that broke his ankle years ago, and he was going to get a replacement in there, and that was canceled just when this all hit. And another guy that had the feed story, he was going to get a new hip, and all the elective surgery has stopped. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they say that the net number of deaths is down in the nation when you look at it, because they're not dying from problems
that.
from these elective surgeries. You know, they're not going in for doctor's care. You would think that people would be dying left and right because they're not getting into the doctor and they're not getting into the ER and all that. And the net number of deaths are, even with all this COVID-19 China hysteria, the net number of deaths are down in the nation. And you're right. Many hospitals laying off nurses and doctors and closing down. And Oklahoma City had one. The whole hospital closed down. They just mothballed it.
That's when Detroit just shut down the other day. Over 2,000 people dumped on the street.
Yeah.
Well, you read Revelation 18, you know, even, see, this, there's nobody that don't affect, you know, a lot of these people that own these baseball teams, that's all extra money they had, and they're not making any money off of that. See, the merchant, he weeps because nobody's buying their product, so there's nobody that's not affected in this thing that's going on. You know, that whole hospital insurance thing is just a huge racket.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing that they are doing is any death is being classified as a COVID-19 death because I believe there's like $39,000 attached to each one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So these hospitals thought they were going to get rich, you know. They shut down. Really what they did locally here, again, through inside information, is they shut down the maternity wards, you know, the whole floor, and turned that into a confined space or whatever you call it, containment area, and that was for COVID-19. And then, you know, they were already... Everybody's, you know, the hospitals are probably counting their money, licking their chops, and next thing you know, wait a minute, nobody's coming in. There's nothing coming in. And now we lost all the other business that we used to have. And, yeah, so I'm sure it's affecting some of those doctors, too, you would think.
You know, there was a guy around, a guy down by Ann Arbor, he made picture frames, and he hired all people that came out of prison, and the guy asked, where did you get this, where the help was more important than making a profit? He says, that's the way I started it, you know. And that you know, it was just a sweet story, abbreviated, but it was just a really sweet story. That guy, he was, and they interviewed the people, they all come out of prison, they were so grateful that somebody would even hire them, give them a job, and they just worked hard and stuff. It was a really a neat story. But see, that's the opportunities in front of us today. So we can't be worrying about this thing going down, because it's a wonderful thing, really.
Amen.
It's just a matter of how you look at it. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. I ain't been this excited in a long time.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
That was,
you know, it's.
Well,
it's being set up for, you know, Gog and Magog to come in to kick our butt, because, you know, they're hurting and everything. I looked at a soap on my counter the other day. I looked on the back, and it was made in China. Everything made in China. That Smithfield, all the pig, that's made in China. That JCB, that big beef company, they might have bought out Monfort, I'm not sure, but they're owned out of Brazil. Now, you talk about treason.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it absolutely is.
Yeah.
They're, you know, the beef industry, at least ranchers and the ones I'm in contact with, they're really pushing for the M-Cool, which is mandatory country of origin labeling on beef, because they're not doing that. You know, there's, like, you know, you said, Paul, that they've shut these plants down. They've done that down here in Greeley. Oh, they say, oh, you know, 20 of the employees tested positive, and we've got to shut it down and clean it, and you would think that they'd be cleaning it in the first place, but, you know, we're seeing that out here. Now, there's plenty of beef in the country. There's plenty of other food products, whether it's chickens, although saw a headline this morning, had a huge fire at a chicken house down south, I think down New Mexico or Arizona somewhere, you know, killed, I don't know, 500,000 chickens. And so those things happen, but there's plenty of at least on the beef, and we don't eat pork, but there's plenty of pork being produced in this country for the people in this country. But you've got even the beef industry, the leaders in it, and the USDA and whatnot, that greed has taken control, and they do have all these imports. If we just shut down the imports, and I'm hoping that's part of this new normal, part of this great awakening, is that the people do, just like you said, Paul, they look, and even their soap on their counter is made in China. Well, you know what? The lady down the road makes great goat soap, and there's soap available everywhere right here that supports Americans. And I'm hoping that that is one of the things that comes out of this, is that the people get back to realizing that they can
that wasn't my make real it point. Here. That wasn't my real point. A foreigner owns those businesses. That's the tragedy of it. Yeah, it's here.
Yes.
What's the name of that company in Greeley that now? Is that Montford, or has that been changed?
No, they've changed it. It's part of the
JBS.
JBS, yeah.
That's JBS, yeah. That, those two brothers out of Brazil own that.
Yeah, and when they own it out of Brazil, certainly they're going to import their beef. You know, that's because that's what...
Well, no, but forget that. We got beef here.
Right.
They still own it and control it.
Right. Oh, absolutely. It's that is making the rounds as well, that the price disparity between what the rancher gets for live beef and what the packers, who are owned by these Brazilians and these foreigners, and there's only four major beef companies, packer companies in the country. And, you know, you can't make money selling beef through the feedlots and into those packers, but they're making anywhere from $600 to $800 a head. The rancher can't make money on it. Not like that.
I know a guy that's got pigs, and I have no, you know, but I was talking to him the other day, and he, last year, the only tax he paid on, and he made, you know, for, he's really small compared to what's going on today, but I mean, he's really efficient, and the rate for, and he told me how many pounds, it was 500,000 pounds or something produced last year. The only thing he paid tax was on the subsidy he got from the government, because he made absolutely no money.
Yes.
Well, here I'm sitting here talking to him, and he showed me on his phone a list, like from Friday till Monday, of people that wanted to buy a pig from him. I mean, it was a long list. They wanted to buy a pig from him.
Right.
You know, he said, well, I can raise it. By the time they buy food and everything, I can raise it cheaper. And I said, sell them the pig and sell them the feed. But at least somebody's learning something out of this, and, you know.
Right.
But this changing before our eyes.
It is.
It's changing before our eyes.
It is. And that's what I mentioned earlier. The locals,
you're butchering themselves again, too.
Yes.
They just start butchering themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, yeah, well, things are changing. It's kind of exciting, actually, for me to watch that Babylon go.
Yep. Jason,
look at what happened to oil this week, you know.
Yeah.
It went down like $40 below negative, you know. How's that even possible? You look at it. I mean, I watched that thing drop like a rock. And
that must be.
Bottom line is there's more oil out in the ocean in tankers than there is in storage on the land. And but you know, you don't see the fuel prices change that much either down here, at least. They're I mean, we found a few stations that are under $2 for diesel, but you know, in reality, fuel ought to be next to nothing. But then again, there's probably 90 cents a tax on each gallon of gas too, between the state and the federal taxes. And you know that they're going to continue just to raise the taxes on fuel, because they got to get their revenue somewhere if they're not going to get it from all of the small businesses.
What is your price of gas there?
Gas is probably $1.80 maybe, and then diesel's in the $2 range. Maybe I don't know. I don't buy unleaded, but it's maybe $1.50.
There's a Muskegon here. There's gas under $1.
Yeah, there is here in Laramie too. Yeah, it's probably $1.40 is the average here in Laramie, in Wyoming.
You take this too. They shut all this car down. I think all the road tax are losing. It's a self-destructive.
Yeah, it is. That's what the destroyer does, though. right? That's what the destroyer does, is they destroy.
Well, I had a guy that a station was using 15,000 gallons of gas a week, and last week they only sold 3,500 gallons. Now, that's one-fourth of what they used to sell. I mean, that's gas tax, too. I don't, you know.
What's that?
I don't know. Yep.
Well, I got to sign off early. I got to go help my son-in-law do a tree project. So, thanks, for God bless you guys, and I'm sure you can handle the rest of the program. Thanks, Paul, for calling in.
All right, John. Thanks. Jason, I saw this article. I thought we might need to make a road trip to South Carolina, and that might be good with this cheap fuel. It says, South Carolina breweries may be forced to dump their beer during this shutdown, and that the... 80% of the breweries there might have to start dumping beer because their keg sales are down. So thought we might have to make a road trip to South Carolina and help those guys out a little bit.
Well, hey, let's get a cross-country pipeline so we don't have to drive down there.
yeah, that might work. That'd work real well. But, you know, looking through the headlines, people are getting back to work. Even California. Boy, it's warmed up out there, and they've said the heck with this quarantine order. They're going back to the beaches. You got salons and hair places that are, and other businesses that are just, they're opening up on their own. And they're, you know, they've just had basically enough of this. And the states are, some of the states anyway, are, you know, trying to put plans together to reopen, you know, knowing that they're going to get blasted by some for doing that. But they've got to get back to work. We talked about protests. Wyoming had about 120 people showed up at the steps of the state capitol this past week to protest and to say, hey, get Wyoming back open, get people back. Governor Gordon comes out, walks down the steps, and gets in the midst of them, you know, talking to
them. Where'd you get that number?
Which number?
Where'd you get that number, 120? 120 people at the steps.
I saw it on a news report, and I saw it on social media, and I saw a picture.
You just gave it away. I thought there was way more than that.
Well, now you got to remember, now Wyoming's only got 500,000 people in it at all, and so. But the pictures I saw that were not from the news report, but from social media, it looked about right, about 100, 120, and there's Governor Gordon right in the middle of them. He comes out. He's not surrounded by a SWAT team. He walks out. He's out there talking to him. He's a former rancher. I think he's one of the exceptions. South Dakota's got another great governor that's trying to get things back open. And I know what you're saying, Paul, that so many times you see these, they get reported that it's just a few people when it's, you know, sometimes 10 or 100 times those amounts.
Michigan was way underreported from what was really there. I do know that. That's why I said that.
Yeah. And I think Wisconsin was the same way. Interesting thing about Wisconsin, they said, you know, they had an election on April 7th, and they were being blasted for having, you know, in-person voting. Oh, my gosh, how can you do that? You know, the safety of the state is at stake. And they've seen no spike after the April 7th election. And here's been 2 weeks now. And no increase, no issue whatsoever, other than they did have elections. And so the things that are happening, that are really happening, and not just as they're reported by the media, is getting to people. And they're starting to see that, hey, wait a minute. You said that if we had elections, half the state would die. And we had elections, and half the state didn't die. No problems whatsoever. But yet we're still stuck at home. And so people are awakening.
Wake, awake.
Yes.
Yeah, going back to this, how people are doing this unemployment deal, I was talking with my brother yesterday, and he was running the numbers, and, you know, he called me up and said, I could make, you know, $4,800 a month for not doing anything, sitting at home under this, just if I said that I don't want to work because I'm scared of the coronavirus. And I guess that's the new thing. That's all you have to say. And they've got people that are, you know, basically just not wanting to work. I mean, there's people, I think that there's a division right there on that's dividing people, and it's going to show in, you know, those that want to work and those that don't want to work, too.
Way back in 2008 when we had that, it turned down the communist guy up north, he had a cherry business. He couldn't get no help, and people would tell him, well, I got an extension on my thing like for 2 years. He said, when that runs out, then I'll come and work for you. You know, they had no morals. They didn't care if he needed help or nothing. They just was thinking of themselves, how what they could do and not do nothing. Yep. So you reap what you sow. I don't know where it's going, but you can look. They're throwing paper at this thing now, and it ain't going to fix it.
Yeah.
You know,
I was reading at Ezekiel 39, 25, the end of it, and I think that this is fitting, too. It says, Israel restored. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have my mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. They will forget their disgrace and all their treachery which they perpetrated against me, when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations, and then gathered them again to their own land. And I will leave none of them there any longer. I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. And I think that that's one of the things that's happening right now. I've always thought for a long time that we've been in the prophetic time of Ezekiel. And I think that this is something that that we could be witnessing right now before our very eyes.
Yeah, you read that whole three chapters there in context, and it's God that does it. As he don't need nobody's help, as it amounts to.
Amen.
I mean, that's a really, you know, I read that just recently, and that's just a really firms you up when you say, see, this isn't about me or anything else. This is about God glorifying himself, you know. And that's part of the new covenant, too. He did, you know, it ain't dependent on us obeying anymore. It's about what he's going to do with us. He's going to chastise us and stuff, and we're reaping what we sow. But when you see what he's doing, it doesn't really depend on me. It's him.
Amen.
Makes all the difference in the world, right there.
That's right. That's right.
The exciting part of that part, what you just—that's part of that is what you just read. He says, "And God, Israel, know I am once and for all," and that has never happened in F history. So, I'm looking forward to it. It ain't far away.
Amen. Amen. And he says, you know, when when the time was right, he listens to us. He does. The time is now. It really is. You know, John 15:4 says, basically, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And that's where we need to be to get through this Red Sea predicament, to get through this fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, to cross through our River Jordan on dry land. And we do that by, as John 15:4 says, abiding in him and him in you. And want to remind everybody a couple things here just before we run out of time, and that is, and this will be this and tomorrow will be the last time we remind you of it, Passover Makeup Day is May 1st. You can read about it. We've been talking about it. Read about the Passover back leading up to Exodus 12, the few chapters right before that, and you get an idea of the Passover. You can read Numbers 9, where is the biblical principle of a makeup day, where you can actually make that day up if you missed the first one. And then some of the blessings. Psalms 105:37 tells us that there were none feeble that came out. There were none unfirm or that stumbled that came out of Egypt in that day. And so we want to encourage you to do that. Read those scriptures and remember the Passover. The makeup day is May 1st. No, we don't slaughter a lamb, but we recognize, we partake of communion. We encourage you to read these scriptures and to partake of the Passover, to remember it. It is to be an everlasting remembrance among his people. And, you know, when the people, even back in the original Passover, when they ate that Passover meal, they escaped the wrath of God. Just as you were saying, Paul, that this is all of God that is coming. It is this reset. And you can read about that in Exodus 12:12. And so we encourage you very much to do that, to partake of the Passover. And join us at church tomorrow. You can do that on the computer at scripturesforamerica.org. And click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a review of the news for you. We'll have a timeless pulpit message that'll hit home, that will be, it will be leading, guiding, and direction for you that is needed today. And looking forward to John's live message as well. We'll partake of communion. So, men, thanks for joining us. And, Remnant, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.